Philippians chapter 2, using Philippians, I have endeavored to preach a series, Rejoicing in Christ. Philippians, four chapters, prison epistle. But yet within this short epistle, four chapters, the word joy, rejoice, rejoiced, rejoicing occurs 14 times. So I wanted to encourage you to rejoice in Christ. I want to be encouraged to rejoice in Christ. And to do that, you've got to keep things in proper perspective. Now, my messages, and will continue to be, I desire to encourage you to rejoice in Christ. But when you read chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, you read there something that gives joy to the Apostle Paul. And that's significant. He says, fulfill ye my joy. Now listen, brethren, the same thing that gives joy to the Apostle Paul gives joy to any sincere preacher, amen, missionary, pastor. I said sincere. I'm not talking about an opportunist or someone who merely fills an occupation. A pastor who is called of God, a preacher who is called of God, desires to do the will of God, understands his purpose, loves his people, fulfill ye my joy. And that which gives joy to the Apostle Paul gives joy to every sincere preacher. Let's read the passage, pray, and then I'll give you some comments about this. Look at it, please. Chapter 2, verse 1, Philippians. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Now notice verse 2. Paul said, fulfill ye my joy. Tonight I'm going to give you three simple points. What, why, and how. But first, let's pray. Our Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for the fellowship of like-minded individuals. I do thank you for the consolation that is in Christ and the comfort of love. I thank you, my Father. Help us to be mindful of what's really important. And help us to be mindful of how blessed we are. And Father, help us to rejoice in your presence always. I ask you to lead and guide and help us tonight, my Father. I ask in my Savior's name. Amen and amen. Now, using verse 2, I have titled this The Preacher's Joy, but I want to tell you, it's not about me so much. I'm just following the text. But the what? Paul says, fulfill ye my joy. Well, what is it that gives him joy? Fulfill ye my joy. Well, his people give him joy. His joy comes from his people. His joy comes from those that he knows and loves and those that he served with. He's in prison and he's writing a letter to the believers in Philippi. He was there about 12 years earlier and was used to establish a work through great trials. We read about it, Acts 16, 17. And now he's writing to them. He says, fulfill ye my joy. Now notice that. Fulfill ye. Ye is the ye. That's the individuals there, the believers in Philippi. You folks in Philippi, fulfill ye my joy. And you see that the you is important. And for the preacher, it is like this, you fulfill my joy. Fulfill my joy. My joy has to do with my people. That's a sincere preacher. Think about this. 3 John verse 4, it says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now, as a father and as a grandfather, I have absolutely no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth, to know that my grandchildren walk in truth. Now listen, no greater joy. So you know what the other side of that is? There's probably no greater disappointment when they fail to do that. But when John was inspired to write these words, he said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. He wasn't talking about sons and daughters. He was talking about Christians. He was talking about believers, individuals with whom he had served and he had been influential and he had discipled them. And he said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And that's the pastor's heart. That's the preacher's heart. That's the sincere minister's heart. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children, that my people walk in truth. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19, you have there one of the five crowns of the New Testament. It's called a crown of rejoicing, and it's a soul winner's crown. But I want you to consider what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. He said, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus at His coming?" He says, what is our hope and what is our joy and what is our crown of rejoicing? And he says, the believers in Thessalonica, are not ye? Ye are our joy, ye are our hope. And you see this, so very important. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul defends his apostleship, and he had to do that frequently. Folks would say he's not one of the 12 and he persecuted the church and all those things. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1, he says, "Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Christ Jesus my Lord?" And then in verse 2, he said this. He said, "If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you, for the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord." Paul said, if I be not an apostle to others, you folks in Corinth, I'm an apostle to you. You are my seal of my apostleship. You're the confirmation. See, what would an apostle be? He's sent to people. What would he be without some people? What would a pastor be without some people? What would a pastor be without the church? You are the seal of my ministry. You are the confirmation of my ministry. And we are to rejoice in the Lord. The key verse to this would be chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, you know, Paul had a great many burdens, but yet he rejoiced. He had joy. Remember his description of the ministry in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Here you go. You're called to the ministry. Here's what Paul says you can expect. Thank the Lord, this is not what we expect. But this is what Paul faced. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. Journeys offering. Often perils of waters, perils of robbers, perils by my own countrymen, perils by the heathen, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren, weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And then when he said all those things, he said one more thing. He said, beside all those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of the churches. And Paul bore this burden. He had been used through his missionary journeys to plant churches. And you read as he talked initially with Barnabas, and then he talked with Silas later. He says, let's go back and see how our brethren are doing. Let's go see how they're doing. He carried the burden of these churches. Now, you read 1 Corinthians. It's a letter of correction. He had to correct them. You read Galatians. It's a letter of correction. You read Colossians. Much of it is correction. And you see, he had the burden of these churches. He didn't plant a church and just go on and forget about it and go the next thing. No, he had a burden for them. He carried this burden, but he carried it with joy. But nonetheless, it was a burden. Now, he says to these people, the believers in Philippi, he says, fulfill ye my joy. You can give me joy. You can feel my joy. Fulfill ye, you. Fulfill ye my joy. You fulfill my joy. And you see, it's the believers, the individuals with whom the pastor or the missionary or the minister is associated with, those individuals, they do well, it just blesses him, and that is his joy. That's his joy. I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. But I understand something, it works both ways, doesn't it? You are to fulfill my joy, and I need you. But I'm to fulfill your joy. It works both ways. Now frequently, I won't say frequently, occasionally, preacher has to say some hard things. And you have to deal with it. Is it scriptural? Is it right? Cut to the heart? Well, perhaps. Occasionally, some hard things have to be preached. Occasionally, you have to speak to the pastor about some things that are a little uncomfortable. So we have to deal with those things. But in the final analysis, you are to live in such a way that it would give me joy. And I don't want to talk about me, but that's the text. And I'm to live in such a way that would give you joy. That's the what. Now the why. Look at verse 1. And notice the word if, how many times it's used. And it's a conditional statement. Now what? Fulfill my joy. Why? All right, here's the why. if there be any, pardon me, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy. See, if these things are true, then you should rejoice and fulfill ye my joy. Now, if. You look at that and it says consolation of Christ. And then it says comfort of love. Well, consolation and comfort are very similar. To be consoled is to be comforted. To be comforted is to be consoled. But he says, if there's any consolation in Christ, in Luke 2:25, the Lord Jesus Christ is referred to as the consolation of Israel. And do you remember that Barnabas was called the son of consolation over there in Acts 4, verse 36? If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if there be any comfort of love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Any comfort of love? Yet the Lord has given us the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And then it says, any fellowship of the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, you read about the unity of the Spirit. And if we are walking after the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and not after the flesh, then we should have a unity, because we're all walking in the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit. Now, bowels and mercy, look at that, bowels and mercy. I'm going to give you something I mentioned just recently. In the Bible, bowels is not used the way it's used today. Bowels today means the lower abdomen area. You know that. But in the Bible, it means upper, it means heart. And say, bowels and mercies is like saying heart and compassion. It's bowels and mercies. It's love. It's God's love for us. It's His heart for us. Now, notice a conditional statement. If there be any consolation in Christ, is there consolation in Christ? Oh, absolutely. In fact, that is really the only individual with whom you can find complete consolation. Any comfort of love? Yes, there is. Any fellowship of the Spirit? Well, if you're walking in the Spirit, then you're in fellowship with the brethren, and fellowship with the Spirit, and fellowship with the Lord. If there's any fellowship of the Spirit, there is. If there's any bowels and mercies, love and compassion, there is. That's the why. Fulfill you my joy. Why? Because of all these things. Now, let's back up for just a moment. How did the Philippians know about those things? Because Paul brought them the gospel of peace, and Paul taught them principles from the Scriptures. Paul taught them. And you may be here tonight, and perhaps you've learned something from this ministry. Or perhaps there's a soul winner, there's a pastor, there's a Christian, there's a missionary, there's someone that gave you the gospel, and you responded, born again, saved for all of eternity. And you've been in church for some time, and you grow in grace, and you grow in grace. And you see, they were grateful to Paul. How did they know these things? Because Paul taught them. And dear friends, my desire is to teach Bible. Amen. Teach Bible. And I hope that that's a blessing to you. Amen. If there be any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels and mercy, there is. There's every reason for the what. The what is joy. Fulfill ye my joy. The why? Because of verse 1. Now, the how. You say, Pastor, we want to bless you. I hope that's your heart. We want to bless you. We want to fulfill your joy. How do we do that? The answer is in verse 2. Amen. Verse 2. This is what Paul said. Fulfill ye my joy. This is the what, or may I say, this is the how. There's the what, fulfill ye my joy. There's the why, if there be any consolation. And the how is right here. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Amen. Now, there's so much there. One accord. That term, those two words, one accord, you'll find them 12 times in the New Testament. Once in Philippians. All the other times you find that statement, it's in the Acts of the Apostles. So in the Acts of the Apostles, the believers were in one accord. Chapter 1, they're in the upper room in prayer. They're in one accord. In chapter 2, day of Pentecost, they're in one accord. Chapter 2, verse 46, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They're in one accord. They're in complete unity and agreement. Remember in chapter 4, They were in one accord and they had a prayer meeting. And the Holy Spirit shook them, shook the place, and they all spoke the word of God with boldness. And see, a lot of things happen. Chapter 2, 3,000 get saved. Chapter 4, 5,000 get saved, plus their families. And after chapter 4, the Holy Spirit merely says multitudes. They were in one accord. What can the Lord do with a people who are obedient and in complete agreement one with the other?
Amen. That's good, preacher.
Amen. One accord. Now notice something else. He also said that you be like-minded. Have the same mind. Believe the same things. Yeah. Think the same things. Yeah. Practice the same things. Now I realize we're all somewhat different. And I realize that we may apply our convictions a little bit differently, but they shouldn't be broad. Shouldn't be a broad diversity. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, Paul's correction, one of the things for which he corrected the church, he said, "For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, you're divided. Are ye not carnal and walk as men? You're not walking like believers, Corinthians. You're walking like men. You're walking like the unsaved. You've got all your cliques and your divisions and you're all divided this way." The United States of America is so polarized right now.
Right.
It's a sad thing. It hinders our nation so much. Mm-hmm. And I regret that, but it certainly ought not to be among God's people. So Paul corrects them in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. He says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." And so how can you bring joy to the pastor? That you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. That's how. All across this land, there are churches where the people are so split, so divided, cliques and divisions. And so many times, churches split and somebody goes down the road and starts another church. And by the way, sometimes the Lord uses that for evangelism, but it's not, I don't think it's His perfect will. I think He'd rather the church send out and plant churches rather than people get disgruntled and go down the road. But there's so much of that in the world today and so much of that in Christianity today. So much of it. There are so many things that can divide us. We're diverse people. We come from different backgrounds, different geography, different life experiences, different religious experiences. We're a diverse people. And if we're not careful, things could separate us, could divide us. You know, one thing that I would ask you to remember is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7. And Paul says there, "Why do you not rather take the wrong?" You say, "I got hurt in that." Go ahead and talk with people. You'll meet so many people say, "I used to go to church and I got hurt."
Yeah.
Look, it's not worth it. Put it aside. Why do you not rather take the wrong?
That's right.
Just put it aside. Put it aside. Why would I not take the wrong? Well, I've got too much pride. I was done wrong and I don't like it and it shouldn't be that way. Well, maybe there's an element of truth to that. But what does it really matter? There's a greater cause here. It's the cause of Christ. And that's what Paul says. He says, "Fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." And there's so many things that could separate us. In Christian circles today, now listen, we're going to cover this in more detail later, but in Christian circles today, music is really dividing people. Now, I've got to tell you something, church. For our worship, our music standards have to be really high because we're here to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we don't want any appearance of impropriety. We don't want any compromise as much as we can avoid it. We've made some mistakes over the years. But our music standards have to be very high. Now listen, my worship music standards are higher than my personal listening standards. And maybe yours as well. If we're not using your personal listening standards, don't be offended at that. It's not anything about that. It's about doing the best we can to glorify our Lord. And if I have raised more questions than answers, I'll come back to that another time. But the point is, it can divide us, it can separate us, and it ought not to be. Now, the what fulfill you my joy. And that works both ways, doesn't it? The why, everything that our Lord has done. That's the why. If there be any consolation in Christ, well, there certainly is. The how, be ye like-minded, same love, one accord, same mind. I want you to look at chapter 2 and find, please, verse 20. In verse 19, Paul said, I'm going to send Timotheus to you folks at Philippi. Now, notice what he said in verse 20. For I have no man like-minded. That's a bad place to be, isn't it? He's in prison. He said, I have no man like-minded. What he's saying is, I don't have anybody that's like-minded that I can trust and send to you. That's the sense of it. But say, I have no man like-minded. I am grateful tonight. The fellowship of the brethren means so much to me. It does give me great joy. It does. The fellowship of the brethren. We know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. Now, the what? Fulfill ye my joy. The why? If there be any consolation in Christ. The how? Be ye like-minded, same mind, one accord, like-minded. But we are a diverse people. We come from different backgrounds. We have different life experiences. We have certain different preferences and certain different interests and tastes. How can we be of one mind? All right, look at verse 5 and I close. Look at verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We can be like-minded when we put self aside. Yes. It's not what I want or what I think, even as a pastor. It's what does Jesus want? Amen. And if we can come into agreement on that, we can be like-minded. Mm-hmm. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In the third verse of Jude, Jude exhorts believers to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. The faith. It's the body of doctrine we believe throughout the church age. It's been handed from generation to generation, preserved by God. And we are to earnestly contend for the faith. All right, that is a part of our unity as well. We are contending for the doctrines of the faith, for the authority of the Scriptures, for the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And how do we have the same mind? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Fulfill ye my joy. Stand with me, please, for prayer. Every head bowed, please. Every eye closed. You know, you can't really contend for the faith if you haven't responded to the faith. You can't really rejoice in the Lord unless you know the Lord. If you're here tonight and you're not certain about eternity, let me or someone here tonight help you to get that settled. And then you can have a genuine joy that nothing in this world can match. If you're viewing this by live stream, thank you for being there. If you're uncertain about eternity, let us help you. You can get that settled according to this book, Thus Saith the Lord. You're here tonight, and things have distracted you and hindered your joy. Now, there are a lot of reasons not to be joyful. But the why is this, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, and there most certainly is, that's the why. We need to get things in proper perspective in our minds. Paul's in prison and he writes, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. So let's be mindful of that. And let's pray for these many individuals who have made requests. Our Father in heaven, I thank you for this evening. I thank you for your goodness to us. I thank you that you did not leave us in darkness and confusion, but you've given us a more sure word of prophecy, light that shineth in a very dark place. My Father, help us to demonstrate the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The how? It's to be like-minded. It's to demonstrate faithfulness and understand our commission, our purpose, and to do our part. But Father, I ask you to bless this time of invitation, examination, and also this time of prayer. And this I ask in my Savior's name. As our pianist plays softly, brethren, let's pray.